Open your Bibles to the passage that was read to us by Harvey just now in the book of Acts, and chapter 16, and I want to cover with you this evening from verse 11 through to verse 15. It's a very, very well-known story. I'm sure that you've read it many times before, and folks have explained it to you. It's the story of the conversion of Lydia. If I had to ask you, perhaps, which verse or which section of the Bible to you is some of the most frightening that there is in this entire book, perhaps some of you would agree with me that the one passage goes like this, that on the final day of judgment, when the Lord Jesus comes back to this world, many are going to say to Jesus, "Lord, Lord." You cannot get better than that, friends. It's orthodox in what it says. It's acknowledging Jesus to be who He is. "Lord, Lord," they say. But the next verse tells us that Jesus will turn around to some of those people and say to them, "Get away from me. I don't know you." What a frightening thing that is, friends. To live your whole life and then to come to the end and to stand before Jesus and to find out that your claim was invalid. And they will turn around to Jesus, it says, and say, "But Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We perform miracles in your name. I don't know you. Depart from me." My dear friends, tonight and next Sunday night, as Grant gets better, I'm just going to stand in for him. But I want to share two sermons with you, just from the heart. Because I want you this evening to remember the most important thing that you could ever find out in your life. There is nothing more important than this, and that is that you are truly saved. You may have been coming to this magnificent church for many years. Many, many years. Coming to Bible studies. Maybe even reading the Bible. You may be even teaching in the Sunday school. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are saved. On the other hand, the danger that we sometimes find is that you read books like Nicky Cruz, or Drunk Before Dawn and these sort of things, and we get the impression that to be saved needs some radical, miraculous happening. What you're going to see this evening is how it happened to just an ordinary person like you and me. There wasn't anything dramatic. It was just a wonderful work of God's grace working in a woman's life. Next Sunday, I'm going to show you how another person had a different form of a conversion, where it was a very radical thing. He had to actually almost come to the point of wanting to take his life, as we will have a look at the Philippian jailer. So this evening, I want to show you, how did God save Lydia? The conversion of Lydia. Now, when you came into church, you were given the notices, and you all got the outline, so you may want to just follow it through with me, and I'll slowly take you through that. The first thing that you notice in Lydia's conversion is the working of providence. The working of providence. It was absolutely amazing how this all happened. And you see it, for example, first of all, in Paul coming to Philippi. Now, if you read the earlier chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, you will read, for example, of how Paul had a tremendous burden in his own heart to preach the Word of God in Asia and also in Bithynia. So he says, for example, if you look a bit further up there to verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. Listen, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. That was a lovely idea. Here is the Apostle Paul saying, Lord, I would love to go to Asia. I would love to go to Bithynia in order to preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, I don't want you there at the moment. And verse 7 tells us that the Spirit of Jesus literally came and forbid Paul to do that. Look at the next verse 9. It's amazing how the Lord works. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See what's happened? Here's this great evangelist, this wonderful missionary, making his plans, directing his own affairs, going where he wanted to go, and the Spirit of Jesus literally said, no. But where I want you to go is to Macedonia. And he revealed this to the Apostle Paul in a vision that very night. So it was no to Asia, it was no to Bithynia, but it was yes to Macedonia. God is a sovereign God. God is majestically in control of all these affairs. He is bringing the Apostle Paul all the way across that country to the little town of Philippi. Now, at the same time, I want you to notice, secondly, Lydia. Lydia. Lydia at this particular time was also not from Philippi. She was from the city of Thyatira. That was a city, as it tells us here, that was very famous for its dyes. They made a peculiar purple cloth, which was very prized by the Romans. So here's a successful businesswoman. She could have gone to Rome. She could have gone to Corinth. She could have gone to Athens. Or she could have just continued to sell it all there in Thyatira. But friends, I want you to see that God, unbeknown to Paul and unbeknown to Lydia, is going to bring the two of them together in a strange place when they never knew one another. And so Lydia is drawn by the Spirit to go to Thyatira. The Apostle Paul is drawn by the Spirit in the same way to go to this city of Philippi. The working of God's providence. I may suggest that to you when some of you look back at your conversion, maybe you can see the same thing at work. God took you to the right place at the right time to hear the right message from the right person. I may very humbly and simply, it wasn't dramatic at all. I remember going to the Hellenic Hall in Springs on the 5th of May, 1967. I'd never ever been there before in my life. Well, I had a friend who knew Jesus, and I didn't. I was just playing my sport and living, as I thought then, a good, clean, honest life. Going to a church school, all the things that you should do, I was trying to do. But I never knew God. I never knew forgiveness. I never knew fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, why don't you come? And I'm so glad that he took me. We lived in Boksburg. And he took me from Boksburg, and we went all the way to Springs. At the same time, it was the first American team that had ever come to South Africa. And there were these six Americans coming here and singing. They had a terrific ministry of music. And there they were, from a faraway country. There I was, two towns away. And we came together, and I heard Joe Copeland preaching. And for the very first time in my life, I heard the gospel. When he made that appeal at the end of the sermon, I remember going forward and giving my life to Jesus, simply as I knew how best to do that. Now, you know, I'd like to believe tonight that there is somebody here, and maybe you don't normally come to Pinetown, but for some reason or another, you're here this evening. And we are not doing the normal series that we do. And here you are, in a different church. Perhaps brought here by a friend. I want to tell you, friends, brought here ultimately by Christ. The working of providence. What's the second thing I want you to notice? What sort of person was Lydia? What do we pick up in these verses about this lady? Well, the first thing that you notice is that she tried to keep the Sabbath. So it tells us in verse 13, on the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Would have been very easy for her. She's not in her hometown. She's not in her home base of Thyatira. She's in a strange city. Would have been easier for her to say, well, I'll have a holiday. It's a good excuse not to go to church. Good excuse not to go to a place of worship. Let me rather rest, go through all my material, and make sure that tomorrow I can have a good day at the office. But you see, she didn't. The reason why she didn't is because she was a religious woman. You know, Augustine was one of the greatest of the church fathers. He molded the thought of the church for about 1,000 years. And up until the age of about 25, he was an absolute rubbish. I could say that nicely. He really was. He was living in sin. His girlfriend had produced a son called Adeodatus. He was far away from God. He was immoral. He had no thought for God. He absolutely far, far, far away. But you know, God never gave up on Augustine. And he wrote these words in his diary once. He said, you know, God has put in the heart of every single man or woman a gap which only God can fill. And you know, people find that, don't they? Have a lot of money, perhaps great success, everything this world's got to offer, and let they come to us and say, you know, there's something missing. I've got everything. I've got a good job, I've got a lovely family, I've got a secure money, I've got this, I've got that, I've got it all. But Warwick, there's something missing. So I want to tell you, my friend, there is something missing. Until that gap is filled with Christ, there'll always be a void in your life. It was the same with Lydia. There was a vacuum in her life. She tried to do what was right and good and proper. And she goes on the Sabbath to where there was a place of worship. Secondly, notice, she attended a place of worship. Not all that easy to find. It says we went outside the city to find a place of prayer. And there she saw this little gathering. There weren't too many of them there. A couple of ladies had gathered to pray, and there they were next to this river. But thirdly, notice, she begins to listen carefully to what was being said. In verse 14, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. And there she arrives at this little prayer meeting. And there God had brought a man, the greatest missionary the world has ever known. When God said to him, don't go to Asia, don't go to Bithynia, I want you to go to Macedonia. He arrives in Macedonia and he's down in Philippi. And where does he go? Next to the river. Who's next to the river? There's a small group of people praying. And Lydia listens to this man as he began to open the scriptures. A very religious woman, a very good living woman, a very moral living woman from what we can gather. But you know, my friends, a woman who was not yet saved. Religious, but not converted. Good, but not converted. So there's the working of providence. There's the character of Lydia. Thirdly, notice the working of Paul. It all just somehow gels so nicely together, doesn't it? What do you notice about Paul? Well, the first thing you notice, of course, is the choice that he made. Well, being the man that he was, a man with a great desire to share the gospel with others, listen to what he said. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. Of course, that was what he did. That's what he loved to do. Every city he went to, on Wednesday nights, we're going through Acts. And that'll become clear. Wherever Paul went, he went straight to the synagogue, straight to the religious people, straight away to those who claimed to worship God, and he preached the gospel to them. What was his method? Well, it says we sat down and we began to speak to the woman with zeal and with passion and with love and mercy. He began to share with those who had gathered at that river, at that little prayer meeting, the things of God. And what did he tell them? Point three. Well, he tells us in 1 Corinthians, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what he said. Nothing more, nothing less. He explained to that little prayer meeting that Jesus died for us. My friends, that's our message. That's what we preach. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. Our message is simple. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. That Jesus rose again for us. That Jesus is coming again. That's the summary. A message that focused on the person and on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. His work on the cross, his work in the resurrection, his promise that one day he is going to come back again. And there listening was Lydia. A lovely, good, religious woman. A And she hears for the first time in her life that Jesus died for my sin. She'd never understood that before. She came to realize that her sin was of such a nature that Jesus had to go to the cross. So God has brought her from Thyatira to Philippi to hear about Christ. He's brought Paul from right across that world to come to Philippi and to tell her the message of the gospel. Lastly, her conversion. Tonight when you go home, underline these wonderful, wonderful words that are recorded. Listen to them one more time. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Oh, friends, there's the secret. How did it all happen? There it is. How is somebody converted? How does somebody become a Christian? The Lord opened her heart. What does that tell you? It tells us that by nature, we are closed to the gospel. That's what we are by nature. Listen to how Paul described it in Acts chapter 26. That terrific work when he said, the gospel was there to open their eyes so that they would turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. See that? You and I, by nature, are absolutely dead, friends. Spiritually speaking, we are dead. I was watching that program yesterday on how the Chinese have built this massive dam in China. One of the miracles almost of our day. The biggest dam that has been erected. Now I say to myself, you can build these dams. You can watch them as they send those little robots onto Mars. For me, I'm not a scientist, but it seemed incredible that so far away, we can send a spaceship, open its hatch, the thing can go down and investigate. We can do phenomenal things. Technology is at an all-time high. What man can do today is incredible. In medical science, it's incredible. In technology, it's incredible. I want to tell you, there is something that a man or a woman cannot do. You cannot turn to God on your own. You cannot. You are dead spiritually. Lydia was dead, physically alive. Spiritually, she couldn't see, she couldn't hear, she couldn't speak. She was dead, just like me, until the 5th of May 1967. Perhaps if I may say that, friend, just like you. Dead in sin. So how do we become a Christian? How do we understand what Jesus did for us? The Lord opened her heart. It was a miracle of grace where God came and opened Lydia's heart and mind so that she could understand what Jesus had done for her on the cross. Satan darkens, God illuminates. Satan closes, Christ opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. No amount of oratory, elocution, logical arguments, exposition, persuasion can ever effect the spiritual illumination. My dear, dear friends, for anybody to be saved, you can now see it is a work that belongs exclusively to God. Unless the Lord opens the heart of the unsaved, they will remain entombed in a dark dungeon of the world of sin. Can I tell you, the world hates that? But it's the truth. Jesus must open the heart. He brought Paul and Lydia to that little river. When she came, God opened her heart. And when that happens, the rest flows. She understood now. And she repents of her sin. And she puts all her trust in Christ. And by the grace of God, she was converted. She became a Christian. She was born again by the mercy and grace of a loving God who opened her heart. If that's how it happened, what were the results in verse 15? What happened to her? Remember that lovely verse that you were taught at Sunday school? That verse that says that if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new person. The old has gone, and everything becomes new. That's what the Bible tells us. If any man is in Christ, he's a brand new person. The old is gone. Everything becomes new. When somebody turns to Christ, the old has gone. Don't you know, says the Bible, that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And the next verse, and that is what some of you were. You see what it's saying? Never, ever give up on a man or a lady. Ever. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, no matter what has occurred, when they kneel down at the foot of the cross and they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are forgiven. And their life changes. What happened to Lydia when she became a Christian? Well, notice the first thing that happened is that she began to confess her Lord. Straight away, it tells us in verse 15, and when she was baptized, she didn't wait. It was such a terrific thing that had happened in her life. She wanted to witness this to the world. There was some water there, and Lydia was baptized. She came and confessed to her Lord. Notice secondly, she became a blessing to her family. Oh, that's lovely to read, isn't it? When she and the members of her household were baptized. You see, friends, when mom is converted, it's a new home. When dad is converted, it's a new home. You know, in our little family, as I've told you too many times, we never had grace at meals. We never went to Sunday school. My mom and dad were not Christians. When I had the joy of leading my mom and dad to Jesus, it was fantastic. I used to sit back there and I used to sometimes cry out of joy. There was my parents. They say grace. On Sunday, we used to live at the tennis club. My dad was the champion. My mother was the women's champion. We lived there. It was our life. Next Sunday, where's Rod and Claudie? They're not here. Where are they? Going to church? Where are they going? To church? No ways. They will never go. They went to church. Why? Something's happened. You know what's happened? They've become Christians. They've been saved. The blessing that comes into a family. This is what happened to Lydia. She had come to know Christ. Didn't hide it. Publicly is baptized. She gets her family around her. And they were baptized. See, the third thing that happens is she opens her home and has this lovely gift of hospitality. Straight away, come, she says, and stay at our home. Please, come and visit my home. What a difference. Inviting a missionary. Inviting a great evangelist. But it just was an indication, friends, tonight that something has happened. She's become a Christian. Her family have been affected. Her own walk with Jesus has been opened. And the fourth thing you'll find, point D, is she was faithful. You consider me a believer in the Lord. And the old King James Version says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. All her life, as far as we know, Lydia stayed true to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lovely story. There was no stars out of heaven. There was no fire. There was no earthquake. There was nothing dramatic. It was just a very quiet, meaningful transaction that took place when God opened her heart to see the truth. She repents of her sin. She turns to Christ and she becomes a Christian. I'm fairly new to this church. I don't know most of you. But will you allow me tonight as a friend, as a brother? I want to ask you, my friend, have you really been saved? Have you really? Can you tell me there was a day when God opened your heart and you responded and you asked Jesus to come and live in your life? to wash away all your sin and to make you a Christian. Maybe it's never happened. Can I invite you tonight? Did God bring you here tonight? So that you too, like Lydia, may be saved. Well, I hope one day when Jesus comes, you stand before Christ, you say, Lord, Lord, this is what I did, but I want Jesus to say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. Why don't you make sure tonight, like Lydia, and come to know Jesus?